My guest today worked for Club Med from 2015 to 2019. She started as a tennis geo during her first season in Club Med Punta Cana, but she was also a water ski and circus geo in later seasons. She graduated from the University of Denver with a communications and marketing degree, and this is a first here on My First Season. She actually missed her graduation to work for Club Med. And yes, we're going to get into how that happened and her thought process on that one. After Club Med, she attended Barry University of Miami and obtained a master's degree in sport, exercise, and performance psychology, and now has her own business in Utah called Sarah Sutton Performance. Everyone, please help me welcome the amazing Sarah Sutton. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. We have so much to talk about. It's not often that, I mean, I understand you were a GM before a GO, but you were a GM in Punta Cana, so it's not often that a GO who went to a resort, you know, as a guest, then later becomes a GO there for the first season. That's kind of cool, no?
Yeah, it was very unique. It was fun.
You were a junior in college, and you went with your mother to Punta Cana?
Yeah, so I went for the first time to a Club Med as a junior in college with my mom. I loved it. I went back again, actually, my senior year. And that happened to be the first club that I was affected to when I became a GO. So,
okay. And just so the folks know, you're from Westchester, New York, and you started to play tennis at 7 years old. Is it safe to say that's when you caught the bug?
In tennis? Yeah.
Yes, in tennis. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who did you watch growing up?
Oh, my goodness. I think that era was, you know, Maria Sharapova, both Williams sisters. It was the end of Roddick and Agassi, the beginning of Federer and Nadal, all those big players, Wozniacki. Loved it.
Well, that's a good time to grow up with all that crew, right?
Oh, yeah. It was really like a big turn in tennis of like the top five women and men taking over for the next decade.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what was your specialty? Was it your serve, forehand, or backhand?
Definitely my serve and forehand. I'm a lefty, so I had that unique serve.
Okay. So people weren't sure where you were going to go with it?
It was easier for me. So for those who don't know tennis, when you're serving on the left-hand side, I had a really good, strong angle that was hard for my opponent to reach, because when you're a lefty, you have that advantage.
And I assume that when you applied to Club Med, because you played tennis for so many years, was that the first position that you told them? Or did you just tell them, you know what, put me anywhere?
Yeah. So I applied for tennis and circus. I had no expectations of being circus. I had really only discovered it when I was a GM. I just loved it. My expectations were tennis, and that's what they gave me.
Now, did you have your interview in New York, or was it a phone interview?
It was actually in person in Los Angeles.
Oh, really? Did you fly over there?
Yeah. So I was in Denver finishing up school, and I remember I was talking with someone who was a GO at that time, and he said, try and go in person to a recruitment session, because when they see you and your personality, know who you are, it's just a lot more likely that they'll call you. And I have a lot of friends in LA, and it was super close to Denver. So I kind of made a little vacation out of it and went and did the recruitment process there.
Was this in 2014 or 2015?
It was either I want to say it was the very beginning of 2015, like beginning of the year. Yeah.
And do you recall who was organizing the interviews in LA that day?
I don't know.
Okay. So what did they make you do? Did you have to do crazy signs or a magic trick? what happens at these panel calls?
Yeah. We didn't have to do crazy signs. We did sit down interview. Oh, that, you know what? Wow. This is coming back to me. Oh my goodness. We did have to get up in front of everyone, and based on what we applied for, we had to do like role-playing scenarios. So they saw that I applied for tennis and circus, and they had me pretend to be a circus GO. So I had to work with someone else and pretend to be working the board and calm them down. And it was like role-playing scenarios in front of I don't know, 100 people. And then
Oh,
we had
really?
one-on-one interviews. Yeah.
Okay. See, if I was one of those recruiters, I would have put forth one to you if you were a tennis geo, because I, when I was chief of sports, I had this guy who really hated when people showed up in speedos to his advanced tennis lessons. So I would have had that role playing. Like, now, did this ever happen to you, by the way, when you were
Hey,
together?
I have
Yes.
had, I don't know, Speedo, but I have
Yes.
definitely had people show up in like bikinis and flip-flops.
Okay.
So
Well,
yeah.
okay, we'll get into that on how you handled that, because I'm always fascinated by that. All right,
Yeah.
so roughly how much time after the interview did you wait for an answer?
I don't recall the exact amount of time, maybe a month or two.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're just finishing up your degree, okay, University of Denver, and they need you, they want you, but it's going to coincide with your graduation. What's the thought process like? Like, how do you do a pros and cons list? Like, or was it just, nope, I'm going?
It was really just, nope, I'm going. I knew that they had their seasons, and the summer was April, May, and the winter was October, November. And that was my window, April, May. And if I didn't take it, then I would probably have to wait till winter, which I didn't want to do. So it was just, this is it.
Did
And yeah.
your family and university friends think you were crazy when you told them you're missing graduation?
My college friends, a little bit.
Okay.
My mom was over the moon. She was really happy I was going to work for Club Med, so I don't think she cared at all.
She's thinking free trip. Okay.
Yeah,
Well, sorry.
yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Mom. Okay, I didn't mean that. Or at least
Oh
the
yeah.
friends and family discount, at least,
Yeah,
right? Okay. Okay.
exactly.
She's like, ah, you'll do a master's one day. You'll still get to go to another graduation
Which
ceremony.
she
Okay.
did. Yes.
All right. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they send you to Punta Cana. You'd already been there. You know the layout of the village. You were a GM twice, so you nothing really gonna shock you. You knew you had to do some dancing somewhere in there, right?
Oh yeah, I was very prepared for that.
Okay. Your chief of village is Abdel Osmani. So what do you remember about arriving that first day or week?
My first memories was that every single geo there thought I was on vacation again. They were
Oh,
all like, "Oh,
because
well,
they
welcome
actually
back." Yeah.
they remembered you.
Yeah, so I think the last time I visited was like November, December in 2014. So it wasn't too far off. It was like the beginning of the season, of the winter season, right before I came. Because in Punta Cana, it's very family oriented, right? So you have a lot of older guests with their kids, and I was this young 20, early 20s guest who resonated with a lot of the GOs. So I think a lot of them did remember me, and I came back and they were all asking how long I was staying for and who I came with. And I just remember having to go through all of the conversations of, no, I actually work here with you now. So that was my first memories. Yeah.
No one could believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think? Is it much different from being a guest to a GO?
It was what I expected. I think I had befriended a lot of GOs over the course of the year before. So I really got an inside scoop of what to expect, what I would be doing. And it was pretty spot on to what I was expecting. I think the only thing was, it was a lot more French than I expected. There was, I mean, the GO meetings were for 200 plus GOs were, it was in French, and I did not speak French. There are three American GOs, including me. So that I was not expecting, and that was definitely a shock.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
only three American geos. Okay.
At that time, yeah.
And what did you think about doing the tennis lessons?
I mean, I loved it. It was very in my zone. I'd been teaching tennis all through high school and college as a job. So
Okay,
it was fun.
but when you were teaching, you didn't have anyone show up in a bikini and flip-flop. So now
That's
you're in a
true.
resort. You're in a resort now. So how did you handle that particular? Like, I'm
That's
always curious. What
true.
did you say? How'd you handle it?
It was trying to be as collected as possible, but really just reiterating rules. I mean, you can't be on a tennis court in barefoot or in flip-flops
or speedo or
wet,
bikini.
Wet bikinis. Yeah. And obviously some of the guests are frustrated because they're on vacation and they want to do what they want. But at the end of the day, it was just, it was trying to be collected and say, like, this is just, these are the rules.
Come on, tennis and golf are like very two proper sports, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
even I know, like, if I don't have the dress code, I'm just not going to show up, you know. But so you did a beginner, intermediate, and advanced lessons.
Yeah, did them all.
Okay, and during this time, are you going to circus? Are you like getting into the circus show or trapeze show?
Yeah, so I knew the day that I got there that I somehow wanted to be a circus geo. I did not realize how little free time I would have to train, but I did everything I could. So we finished, I worked 8 to 12 in tennis, and then we would go to the pool and do our crazy signs. And then at 12:30, if I didn't have an arrival or departure, I would go and train at lunchtime with the circus team. And then I think after a couple months, I started doing just like a basic Lyra routine in their shows. And I believed I was ready to be a circus geo, but.
Do you have to convince someone?
I did. So my effector was Olivier Hessler, who was wonderful. Shout out to him. And I really tried to convince him to let me become a circus geo. And he essentially said, finish a season in tennis in Punta Cana. And so long as it all goes well and you still want to be here and you have good reviews, I will make sure that happens, but it will probably be in another village, which is unique because usually they have you stay in one village for a year, at least when you first start. And,
yeah. Well, yeah,
so,
they twisted your arm and said you're going to Turks and Caicos, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh,
I was
no.
I know. I was like,
leave this family village to go to an adults only. How dare you? And secondly, like, how dare you?
shoot, I have to rethink the decision.
Yeah. I'm going to need 2 weeks.
It worked out.
The season, so what happened? Anything happened? Any stories or anecdotes come out of your first season?
You know, trying to think back, I would say, there's nothing really.
Okay, so
crazy.
You didn't make any first season geo blunders, errors, mistakes, faux pas. What did I do? I was confused by the program. I actually carried the program around with me and tried to memorize it. It was always on me because I didn't know how people kept track of where they had to be at every minute, and I was showing up for things I didn't have to be in because. I was running around trying not to get fired, you know. So I don't know if this is common or you just had it all locked down from when you arrived.
Yeah, I would say the two things that were definitely hard to get used to is Punta Cana is such a large village, and they expect you to know it all, and it's like sink or swim on day one. So I would say for the first like solid 2 months, whenever I did arrivals, I would get lost all the time.
Oh, really?
And there were a couple of times where I would, I mean, again, if you know the Punta Village, you know,
yes,
that building A is like a mile away from building E. So I would sometimes accidentally take guests to one side of the resort only to realize after we got all the way there that they were actually on the complete opposite side.
So what did you say? Did you make up a lie? Like, I was just showing you the village. Like, did you?
Yeah.
Or did you come clean right away?
I'm pretty sure. I never wanted to come clean. I never wanted to be like, oh, I'm the new Geo. I'm so sorry. Yeah. No.
Where am I?
I'm pretty sure I would come up with like the, I just wanted to show you around.
Yeah. I wanted to take you 30 minutes out of your way. So here we are.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Nice. Well, yeah. So then they send you to Turks, which is probably, I think, the easiest village. You got the geo rooms on one side, the GMs on the other side of the path, right? I mean,
easier. You're going from 2,000 guests to 400 guests as well.
Yeah. And no kids, right?
And no kids.
Must have been a shock to the system after Punta.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but it only took like a week until I got used to it.
Okay. And here your chef de village is Jessie Chow.
Yeah.
Well, I think you told me she doesn't normally work in the North American zone. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did most of her time in Asia, but she did a little time in North America.
All right. So now you're a full-blown circus geo in Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the high water mark. That's where you want to be. So what's it like there?
Loved Turks and Caicos from the start. I mean, it's beautiful. It just has this energy and this vibe about it. I very quickly realized how bad at circus I was.
What?
I don't
really?
Know how I convinced Olivier to, yeah, let me be a circus geo.
What part of it?
I was not nearly as good at circus as I thought I was. I think I was not nearly as strong, as flexible. I don't think I was ready. But being a circus geo, you have such a steep learning curve. So I got good fast. But when I got there, it was definitely a shock.
Okay. Well, that's pretty big of you to admit that, right? I mean, not many people would.
But
you realized it and then you worked towards bettering yourself, right?
Oh yeah. That was the goal.
So do you do like one circus show, one trapeze show a week there in Turks? How does it work?
Yeah, so there was one flying trapeze show, one indoor circus show, and then there was a lot of circus acts in all the other shows. So I would say we were performing circus in shows 4 times a week.
Okay. Which one was your strength, or what number did you feel you were great at?
When I first started?
Well, no, during the course of the season, or I'd say near the end of that season, was there one, like, I don't know, Spanish web or flying trapeze trip?
I got thrown into Spanish web. I actually took over that act from Mary Fair. I was replacing her, and it was good for my confidence because it's definitely an apparatus that you can trick yourself into. So I did Spanish web and I was pretty proud of that for a while. And then over time I learned to love flying trapeze and double trapeze. Those are my favorites.
Now, Spanish web. So at one point you do this move, or did you do this move where you spin really fast and then you put one of your arms behind your back?
Oh yeah.
How do you guys not throw up doing that? That centrifugal force is like, I don't know how you guys do it. So how what are you thinking of? What are you doing while it's spinning like that?
Well, what's interesting is I never got nauseous, but what did happen a lot was I popped so many blood vessels, and like after shows, like I would have a red eye, or my hands, because you have it wrapped around your wrist. So I would have like red dots all over my hand and arm and red eyes. And so never nausea, but definitely a lot of blood vessels popped.
Now, why do they pop in your eyes? Is it because of the speed and the force that you're spinning at? Is that what happens?
That's my guess. I never looked into it.
Okay. Yeah. As long as I'm not nauseous, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You're puking in a bucket after every show, maybe it's time.
Exactly.
Okay. So what happens in Turks? Tell me something. Did you see JoJo? What goes on there in the 2015-2016 season?
Oh boy, a lot. I did see JoJo. I was, I think, super focused on trying to get good at circus, but Turks has a special quality to it where, compared to Punta, like you were expected to be out later, socializing more. And that was like very exhausting on the body to like have this drive and passion to get really good at circus, but to also be expected to be out later and socializing more than I had in my prior season. So I saw JoJo, I learned how to sail, I had a lot of fun, but it was definitely just trying to balance and stay awake that first season.
Okay, so I have a question in two parts. So you're saying that, okay, I think I hear what you're saying. You're saying that with all, your work duties and then Turks being an adult only, it's a lot different from Punta Cana. So did you have to go to a lot of glow parties? And second part of that question, what is a glow party?
Yeah, we had glow parties, but what I will say that I had to participate in Punta Cana that we didn't have in Turks and Caicos was the foam parties.
Oh, really? Wait, you had foam parties in Punta, but not in Turks? But not in Turks? Or you
But
didn't have
not
to
in
go to Turks?
Turks.
That's a little weird, though.
Yeah,
Okay.
now that I think about it, I don't know why.
Well, no, but that's a good thing because you can't have too much foam, right? I had to MC those for a year in Cancun, and yes, by the end of the year, you're like, oh my God,
Oh my
I don't want to
gosh.
see foam the rest of my life.
I know. Sometimes the job is to actually be dressed up in the foam dancing, but sometimes the job was like, I don't know if you ever had to just hold towels on the outside of the foam
No.
party and like constantly wipe people's eyes.
Oh,
That
really? That's a job?
was
Okay.
that would be my job sometimes. So
Okay.
yeah.
I thought it would be picking up people that slip and then you can't find them,
Oh my goodness. There were a lot of kids that got lost in there,
Yeah,
but
I got freaked out once. It happened to me. I didn't know if I was up or down and I wasn't touching anything and it just I don't
oh
know,
no.
I got almost like a little panic attack and I don't know what was going on. I never had one before.
Oh my
But
goodness.
then I finally found my way out of the foam. So I was just curious if anyone else goes through that. Yikes. That's
Oh
embarrassing.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that definitely, I'm sure that happened, but we didn't have them in Turks and we did have the glow parties, attended a lot of those.
Okay, now what is it just that you every I don't know, everyone goes to the bar and there's that lighting and there's drinks that are glowing. Is that basically what it is?
Oh yeah, and they had the whole setup of, everything at the bar, and you had the balloons and the glow sticks and glow paint and all of that stuff. Yeah, it was
And
wild.
that would happen after the show usually?
Yeah, that was like every, I don't remember the day, but maybe I would say I think that was after the indoor circus show, because I remember changing out of our circus costumes and getting into our glow costumes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pulling double duty, huh?
Oh, always.
And what did you guys do on your day off? Did a group of you like rent a Jeep or something?
Yeah, I think it varied. I mean, I think any GL can relate to this. There were many days off where you wanted to rent a car or just go explore the island or see new things. And then there were days where you just wanted to not see the outside world at all. But we actually, one of my best days off was in Turks and Caicos. It's made up of a bunch of islands. And we actually hopped on a little hopper plane and first thing in the morning and took a flight over to Grand Turks. Spent the day exploring Grand Turks, and there's like wild donkeys and all this stuff. And then we took the last plane back and came back to Provo.
I'm sorry, did you say wild donkeys?
Yeah, there's wild donkeys on Grand Turks.
Okay, are they dangerous?
Oh no, I think they're so used to seeing humans.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't often hear that term. You hear wild horses, but I don't think I've ever heard the term wild donkeys before at this.
I hadn't either until
Okay.
that year.
All right. So was this the winter season or was this like when did you arrive? I know you did 2015, 2016. So are you saying you arrived around October, November 2015?
Yeah, I want to say I arrived in November 2015. I was
So
there for a year.
another than like school, was this your first time away from home, like for Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, I think it was actually. Yeah.
Pretty crazy, huh? Working Christmas and New Year's, because those were always the two busiest days I found when I was working.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I think all the holidays and hospitality are busy. Yeah. But it was fun. You become family with everyone you're working with, and
Well, and also some GMs because I belong to that. I don't know if that Facebook group, the Turks and Caicos Facebook group, started by GMs, was around when you were there. Like I don't know how old that group is that I'm a member of. You know the one I'm talking about, right? It's basically a Facebook page devoted to that Club Med, but it's run it's run by GM. So you, I understand you have a lot of GMs that go to Turks several times a year, right? So when you were there, you must have seen GMs that you saw like two or three months ago, right?
Oh yeah. We had GMs there who'd come back every month, every other month.
Yeah, that's right. That's that's crazy, right? I mean, that they love that Club Med that much that they go.
Yeah,
they,
I mean, I get it. It really did have such a special energy.
I guess ending your season at Turks and Caicos, do they ask you, where do you want to go next? Is there still a dream sheet? Like, hey, fill out your top three choices. And
yeah, it wasn't like a sheet of top three choices. I really respected and valued Jessie as a CDV, and she had asked me where I wanted to go, and it was just a simple conversation. And I had told her Asia, and I'm pretty sure 1 week later, this was super early in the season too, I think it was like August, beginning of August, she called me into her office and she handed me a sheet that said I'd been affected to Guilin.
Okay, in China.
In China, yeah.
I'm sensing something happened.
Yeah, well, okay. It did. I didn't end up in Guilin. I had signed to go there. I had sent in all my paperwork for my visas. And they told me it would take a little time. And so I actually, the season ended and I still hadn't had my visa. So I decided to take a backpacking trip through Asia while I waited. Which I did, which was really fun. 6 weeks just traveling Southeast Asia. And that trip ended.
Yeah, I was just curious, like where did you go to Vietnam? Like whereabouts did you go?
I did Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and Indonesia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I visited Club Med, Phuket, and Bali while I was there.
Oh, okay, great. Well, so yeah, I mean, you got to Asia anyway, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
It's a heck of a trip.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I actually went with my, at the time, she was my roommate in Turks and Caicos. We both kind of, I think she was leaving Club Med and I was taking this break, and we kind of just said, let's go take this backpacking trip together. And her and I went and left Turks and Caicos and went and did that. And it was really fun.
All right. So is it when you get back, do they just tell you where you're going next?
Yeah, so at this point it's like December and I still didn't have my visa. So I went to Cancun to visit, and Abdel was the CDV who I worked with before, and they essentially kind of came out that they didn't think this visa was going through. They said I should go home until next season, and I refused. Said I'm not going home. Please give me a job. But there were no more circus jobs in North America, anywhere where I didn't need a visa. And so I just said, look.
What about tennis jobs?
Yeah, I didn't. Honestly, I was so over tennis. I don't even think that was in my mind.
Okay.
And so I just went to Abdel while I was there and I said, hey, do you have anything for me? And I think the week prior to me getting there, visiting, their female water ski GO had injured herself. And he said, well, we do have this water ski position open. Do you want to do that? And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So
oh,
I
wait, Sarah, did he not ask you if you knew how to water ski? And do,
he
and do
did.
You? Did you?
He asked me if I knew how to water ski. I said I did. I think I had water skied once when I was like 8 at summer camp.
Good enough.
Yeah, I figured.
It's a lagoon. It's flat.
Yeah. No, honestly, I'm pretty athletic and I figured I could pick it up. I didn't need to be the best. I just need to be able to coach it and do it. So I said I told him I knew how, and they had someone fly in and teach me how to drive a boat and like pull people. And I got my boating license a week later. And then next thing you know, that's what I'm doing for the next 5 months.
I've only ever pulled or been pulled. So I never drove the water ski boat. I did water ski show. So is it hard because, you know, like, especially if the GM is on one ski, okay, and you know how you have to have the ski and the cord and you give the head nod. So I've seen it where the person, after he gives a head nod, starts to swerve to the right or left and he starts getting pulled. So was that difficult? Like, it was pulling one ski with, I guess, relative beginners of one ski difficult? Or like, cause I'm imagining that would be hard, no? The timing, I mean, because you have to at one point look back, look forward, look back, you know.
It is a lot, actually. I would say of all the jobs that I had, it wasn't very physically challenging, but water ski was probably the most mentally fatiguing.
Yeah.
Because you always had to be, I mean, you couldn't be anywhere near a human being in the water when you are in charge of a boat. Yep. You have to constantly look back and forth, and you can't go too fast. You can't go too slow. There's two boats going, so you want to make sure that you're not running into the other boat.
So, and when I was there, you had these excursions. So these other outside companies would come with these little boats. Were they still doing that? Like coming through the Clomed Lagoon? No? Okay, good.
Yeah, no, just Clomed.
So, and then once you learn the, I guess, pulling the person out of the water, then you have to face the, I guess the boredom sometimes of going in a circle, right? Making right-hand turns, I guess.
Yeah. Like, left-hand turns.
Oh, sorry. Left hand. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't boring because it really just was mentally fatiguing. It wasn't boring, but you always had to be on because it can be dangerous. I mean, you're in charge of a motorized vehicle with humans in the water. Yeah. So
sometimes things with long reptilian tails too, right? You know.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
It happens. So yeah, you got a lot to watch out for.
Now, yeah.
While you were water skiing, were you doing circus on the side? Were you helping out?
Yeah. So Cancun was wild. Cancun was wild. So I started off doing water ski, and they obviously expect me to do the water ski shows and all that. So I learned water ski, wakeboard, wake skate, slalom, all that stuff, pyramid. So I was learning that and doing that during lunchtime. And then I would run up. So trapeze is right next to the water ski. So I would, like, after we had our guests, I would train water ski every day. And then I would, like, take my vest off and throw on dry clothes and then run over to the circus rig and train with them. And then I would go do everything else I needed to do. And then I would do the circus shows at nighttime with the circus team. But I also, what ended up happening, I think like less than a month of me being there, one of the fitness instructors got injured. And so the chief of sports at the time asked if I could fill in one day. And I did. And it kind of just kept happening. And before I knew it, I was teaching all of the fitness classes in the morning.
Well, wait a minute, Sarah. How did you know how to do that?
I figured it out.
Okay. This is like an episode of, hey, get Sarah, she'll do it. You know.
I really felt like that. Honestly, somehow can't, like, my memories of Cancun were running from one end of the resort to the other. I would wake up. I somehow figured out how to teach fitness, and I taught spin, strength, Pilates, stretching, all the Zumba, all that stuff. And then I would run and do water ski training. And then I would run and do circus training. And then I would go teach water ski in the afternoons to the guests. And then I would do the circus shows at night. And somehow that became like such a cycle that ended up, I really don't even know what my role was in Cancun. I was just running around doing whatever I needed to be doing.
You sound like you were in killer shape that season.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was good.
And that's just by doing your job, right? I mean, jobs.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness, because the food in Mexico is incredible. So.
Okay. So you weren't gaining or losing any ground, right? You just staying even, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely getting a lot stronger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay, here's a big question. Now, did you, if you had the time, did you go into the nightclub of Cancun, and which was your favorite club? Extra points if you say Coco Bongo. But no one's keeping score here. Or was it Daddy-O's or the city?
I went to Coco Bongo once. I really don't remember if it was Cancun or Punta Cana, which one it was.
Wait a minute. Punta Cana has a Coco Bongo now? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's something. It probably was Cancun. I did go to those places a few times. To be honest, I'm not a big partier, so it wasn't like a regular thing for me, and I really don't have strong memories of it.
No, you couldn't have been a partier with all those jobs you had, you know. I mean,
I was exhausted.
You gotta work the next day.
Yeah.
Wow. So that you do 2016, 2017 in Cancun, and then they send you back to Turks, or do you ask to go back to Turks as a circus Jew?
I asked to go back to Turks, yeah.
Okay. And now we were with Francis Lacoste.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Montreal. He's Canadian, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. All right. Why did you want to go back to Turks?
I loved it there. It's just a beautiful place. I couldn't go to Punta Cana because they had just opened Creative, and I had done Cancun, and currently Asia and Europe weren't working out. So why not?
Yes. And then you told me some unfortunate, because you just mentioned Punta Cana and Creative, and you told me some unfortunate news of a hurricane. Someone named Irma decided to go through your season, right?
And oh, yeah.
What you didn't want to happen kind of happened, right?
Yeah, that honestly, and I would be shocked if anyone answered differently, but Turks 2017, summer 2017, the season of Hurricane Irma was my favorite season at Club Med, despite Irma coming through.
And I'm guessing this was one of those big ones that just, you know, you had to shut down, right, to clean up everything,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I shut down for, I want to say, four. We reopened in January or February, so 4 or 5 months, yeah.
Okay. And so the only thing, I'm guessing you didn't want to go home, neither would I. Mm-hmm. So they have, hey, we have Creative at Dominican Republic if you want. So you went there and helped out. Now, for anyone listening who doesn't know what Creative is, do you mind explaining it just quickly?
Yeah, sure. So I was very grateful that they offered me this. Creative is that collaboration that Club Med has done with Cirque du Soleil. And it was just the caliber of talent with Creative was next level. They had a lot of ex-Cirque du Soleil performers there, and it was just a giant playground. They had transformed this area in Punta Cana, where they had not just flying trapeze, but they had bungee, they had trampolines, they had all the aerial apparatuses. They had probably 15 different circus apparatuses you could go and try. It was unique and it was really fun. And honestly, I'm grateful that I got to learn so much from some of those people.
You were there roughly how many months again?
I was there, no, like end of October to mid January.
Okay.
November,
and then,
December.
And then your season was cut short. You're sent for the reopening. So was that always the plan? The GOs that were there are going to do the reopening of Turks in 2018?
Yeah, that was, no. Sorry, I'm recalling it now. No, because it was a new season at that point.
But same chief of village, Francis Lacoste.
So Francis came back, and a lot of the GOs did come back, but because it was a new season, it was the same thing that would have happened if you had that turnover in November anyway.
Okay, got it. And I assume you're happy to be back?
Yeah.
And was did the village look the same, or did they do any upgrades or anything?
Oh my goodness. It felt like a completely different village.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. They redid everything. It was all, I mean, every, like the pool was different. They upgraded the dining areas, the rooms, everything. everything changed.
And was it fun to do a reopening of a village like that? Like, were people, the guests all excited? Were you full?
Yeah, it was really exciting. I don't know if we were full or not, but we actually ended up changing the location of the flying trapeze. So Turks had been my home for a year and a half of my ClubMed journey. And all of a sudden, we had to move the trapeze from like the giant field near Sharky's to the old basketball court, which had never been used. So I understand that. But it was just those little changes were so strange to get used to when you have spent so much time in a village.
What was the team like?
The team was good. I think everyone was just really excited to like be a part of reopening such an iconic village. And so everyone really put their best foot forward to make it as great as possible. And I think the guests, what was interesting was, as you said before, a lot of the guests in Turks and Caicos come back time and time again. So watching the guests who had spent years, even like a decade, coming back to Turks and Caicos, come back to this, what felt like a brand new resort, and their reaction and their excitement for new things was really cool.
And were there phone parties now at Turks this time?
Not as much, honestly. Okay. Like, no, it was a lot. I don't want to say subdued. I don't know if that's the word, but they were making it more upscale. So Turks was always notorious for.
What? I did my first season there. It was nothing wrong at all. Wink. Boy, was I lucky.
Yeah, they were, let's just say they were trying to make it Got a it. Little more upscale than
so
Turks.
So no more beer pong is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, understood. Okay. But still fun nonetheless, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, that was always one of my favorite places was my first season there. And yeah, I had a great time and it was magical. So I always have a special spot for Turks, as many people do as well, you know?
Yeah.
And how long are you there? Are you there almost a year for this time around?
No. And then I that ended up being my last full season. So I leave in May, 2018. I retired from Club Med.
But kind of, right? Because
kind of.
Aren't you asked to go open a new village called Misha's?
Yeah. So when I left ComEd, I kind of bopped around for a little bit and then somehow ended up back in the Dominican Republic and just living there. For anyone who knows the DR, I lived in Cabarete, which is on like the northwest side, and lived there for about a year. There was a hotel there that had a trapeze. So I was teaching there and just living Caribbean life. Manny, who I'd worked with over many villages and many seasons, was going to open the new ComEd, Miches, which was in the Dominican Republic. He knew I was living in the country and he called me up and he said, you know, he asked if I wanted to go help him open the new resort that they were building. And this was about a year and a half after I had left ComEd. So I really didn't have any expectation to go back at all, but I thought, why not? It would be fun. I knew it was temporary. It wasn't going to be a whole season. It was a few months. So I went and I became a GO again for a couple months and helped open it. And it was really great.
And this one is also upscale, right? I believe.
Yeah, I think this was their, if I'm not mistaken, their first like 5 Trident resort in North America.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were there any hiccups with a village that size opening? Like, was all your supplies there? Like, nothing was delayed?
There were lots of hiccups.
Okay.
But well, we normal. Made it that's through.
Normal, right? Yeah, that's normal, right? With any
yeah, I would village. Say the biggest thing with the circus is a lot of the equipment didn't arrive until the last minute. And also, you know, entertainment is really big and important in ComEd. And when you're opening a 5-star resort, it's you know, it's a big part of it. So circus is a big part of the entertainment, and they're always trying to figure out how to have circus entertainment. And it was all about, you know, not just one show in the theater, but where else can we incorporate it? So it was always, can we have an over the pool show? Can we have a show at the bar? XYZ. And I think biggest hiccups were like these pools. I don't know how it is now, but when we opened it, these pools and areas were just not designed for putting a big circus rig in it. So there were definitely some back and forth of, I mean, we were like drilling holes in these pools, trying to get these rigs to fit. And we were like underwater trying to pull a rig up that shouldn't have been in there. And we figured it out and it all worked out. And they had a beautiful pool show, they had a beautiful bar show, but some hiccups. And we really only had like a month to figure it all out. So it was a lot.
Okay. Now, is it during this time, because I just want to segue a little bit away from Club Med and then we're going to go back. Okay. So I mentioned that you got a master's. So is it during this time at Mishas that you're thinking about going back to school?
Not really. I think my passion for sports psychology stemmed from my circus career. So I really owe Club Med that. And I did a deep dive in all my years in Club Med on how I could be the best performer, because I wasn't a gymnast, I wasn't a dancer. So I was kind of behind on like my actual physical ability, but I did a deep dive into sports psychology and mental performance. And that really helped me become like the best circus artist I could be there. And
well, wait a minute, Sarah, sounds like you were working on your thesis before you were even accepted your graduate degree, or am I crazy? This is, because I worked in this is what it's sounding like to me. You were already,
to be honest, I didn't even know I could go back to school for sports psychology at the time. I just knew that there was something there. And I really believed in mental skills and mental performance just from everything that I was teaching myself in my years in Club Med to be better at circus. That was simply it. I didn't even know when I was in Mishas, again, I still didn't know it exists. It wasn't until 2020 when the world shut down, I had left Club Med already, when I was trying to figure out what to do next, that I learned that there was an entire industry of performance for athletes.
I wish we would have spoke sooner. Yes, I could have told you. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I wish I had known that earlier. I mean, I feel like I knew so much about it already, but I just didn't even realize you'd go back to school for it. And they had masters and doctorates. And so when I figured that out, I mean, I immediately just started applying and went back to school, got in to Bear University and went back to school for that. And yeah, it was
this, and this time you crossed the stage to get your diploma, right?
Yes. I wasn't missing this one. No. It was important to me.
And now can you tell me about Sarah Sutton Performance? That's based in Utah, correct?
Yeah. So I'm based in Park City, Utah. I had the opportunity to work with some professional level and collegiate level sports teams out in Miami while I was there. And it was a great experience. And life brought me out to Park City after graduation. And I love it. You know, it reminds me of my time in Colorado. I've been skiing a lot and hiking and enjoying it all. I live quite literally in a log home in the mountains.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's quite peaceful.
Sounds amazing. That's how I picture Utah. Sounds amazing.
It really is. It's very peaceful. It's picturesque. So I started my own practice out here, and I do sports psychology and mental performance for athletes and coaches and executives. I mean, I do it out here. I do virtual. So it's been a really fun experience starting my own practice.
Congratulations for all that, really.
Yeah, thank you.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. I really am very passionate about it, and it makes my day-to-day a lot more fun.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Now, if we swing back to Club Med, who did you like working with? Like, who did you who did you click with? Did anyone make an impression on you in any of your seasons?
Oh, I mean, there are so many. I would say, there's a handful who I think made a really big impression on me. Again, coming back to that 2017 Turk season with Hurricane Irma, that whole circus team of like Rivers and Allie and Jason and Patrick, big shout out and props to them because that was just one of the most incredible experiences. I've never really been on a team where every single person is constantly trying to lift each other up and make each other better and supporting each other in the ways that we did. So that had a really strong impression on me, just to be part of such a strongly cohesive team. And that I'll never forget. I mean, it really made the season and our practices and our training and our job so enjoyable. So that whole team, honestly, I would say my first chief of circus, Brendan, was great. This was when I wasn't not very good, and he forced me to do a lot, which looking back, I learned so much and got better really fast. I do have to say, like Claudia, another chief of circus that I had, I learned a lot from her. I remember I was taking the catch trap down one day and I was really struggling to like climb the rope. I don't know if you remember like someone taking the catch trap
Oh,
down.
that is, I did that as a chief of sport. That was my favorite thing. And
Oh my
none of
gosh.
my circus guys ever tried, wanted to stop me because they hated doing it, right? So I
Oh,
would
we
do
all
it.
hated doing it.
I would do it without legs. Like I got so good at it, I would
Oh
just do
my
it with my
gosh.
arms. Yeah, no legs. So yeah, I
Yeah.
loved it. But yeah,
Where were you?
they never stopped me from doing
Where were you when I
it.
was there? No, we had so my second season in Turks and Caicos as a circus GL, Claudia was my chief of circus, and like big shout out to her because we ended up being three girls and two guys, which is so unusual. So she stood out because she taught me to catch, which not a lot of females were doing at the time, and I ended up loving it. And I was catching, I mean, I ended up catching in a show. Like I loved being a catcher. But even as much as she was like pushing us to be better, I just remember this one time I was taking the catch trap down, and I think I was just exhausted, physically and mentally exhausted, and I was struggling to like push myself over the bar when I got to the top of the rope. And I remember just hanging belly over the bar and like really struggling. And I just start bawling, like crying my eyes out. I was so tired that I was like, I can't even take this catch trap down now. Something I, should be so simple. And I just remember her just telling me to come down, sat with me on the net, kind of talked me through everything, like gave me the night off. And it was just, it's moments like that that I don't know if people realize, but as a manager or a leader are really important. So, yeah.
Big shout out.
Yeah.
Awesome. And is there anything that you miss now about Club Med? Like looking back, I mean, obviously, I guess you don't miss not doing dishes and cooking, but you miss the people, you miss the travel, you miss the beach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved living on a beach. That's why I continued to live on a beach for many years after. I loved the people I worked with. Of course, I miss them. One of the people I worked with in that season, Rivers, who she goes by Carolyn as well, I actually just went to her wedding 2 months ago. Like, we're still very close. So I do miss the people, and I miss the beach, definitely. And I miss circus. I really don't get to do much circus anymore. So I do miss it.
Awesome, Sarah. And we're coming to an end. This time went by really, really fast. You're so amazing and interesting to talk to. And I know we got it all, but I'd like to just ask you one question that I ask occasionally is that looking at your trajectory from, graduating University of Denver, going right into Club Med, you don't, to me, you made the right decision. Like I would have probably kicked myself if I went to graduation and missed my window, like you said. So I'm assuming you don't have any regrets about the way you did anything, right?
Oh no, I'm so happy that I did what I did, and it all worked out how it's supposed to.
Okay. And if anyone was listening to this and thinking about applying to Club Med, would you suggest they give it a try, like even for 6 months or a year?
100%. I think the skills that you learn in Club Med are something that you don't get in a different type of job. So I would recommend this to anyone and everyone.
Okay. And at your current job, you don't burst any blood vessels anymore, right?
No,
Okay. Awesome.
I
Well, this has been so kind of you to share your story with us, Sarah. Thanks so much for that.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was really fun. Trip down memory lane.
Oh, it was kind of you to take the time, and you're one of like what I call the newer GOs, right? So people I never got to work with. So I thank you for coming on, and because I don't know, I haven't been to Club Med since 2010, so I don't know the current crop. So I like having GOs like you, who really only stopped working for Club Med in 2019. So thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm curious to see what has changed from when I was there to now, too.
Well, yeah, I can tell you Turks, my first season, 94, so it sounds like it's a lot different now.
Yeah.
But hey, great times both years. Okay, I'm sure it all
Right.
works out. Well,
Exactly.
here's where we say goodbye to all our listeners, Sarah. So I'll let you take it away. So just thank everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in and listening to my time at Club Med, and a lot of you had a good part of this and created good memories. So, thank you.
That was the amazing Sarah Sutton, everyone, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.